From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 2015, Georgia State merged with Georgia Perimeter College and became the largest university in the state. GSU, which also, by the way, holds GPB's license, has raised its graduation rate by more than 20% since 2003. And over the last 5 years, it has awarded more bachelor degrees to African Americans than any other nonprofit college or university in the country. So how did they do it? And why has it become a model for higher ed institutions around the world? Well, Chris Almond is with me. He's an academic advisor at Georgia State. He and his former advisee, Candrice Cousin, are with us in the studio. Candrice is a 2017 graduate. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much, Chris.
To be here.
Lindsay Page is also with us. She's on the line from Pittsburgh, where she's assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh College of Education. She collaborated with Georgia State to create an essential component of its advising toolkit. Hello there, Lindsay, and good morning.
Good morning. Nice to join you.
Well, Lindsay, I want to ask you about your research, which is about, in part, a phenomenon called summer melt. Now, what is that?
That's right. So when we talk about summer melt, we're talking about students who are at the end of high school. They seem to have college plans well in place. And so when we're seeing them walk across the stage at graduation, we say to ourselves, we're proud of that student. That student's going on to college. And as it turns out, for lots of students who have those plans well organized at the time of high school graduation, they don't actually successfully make that transition to college in the fall.
So this is as many as 1 in 5 graduates, I believe, high school graduates who get into college and don't end up on campus?
Exactly. So we see high rates of summer melt, particularly for students who may be the first in their family to go to college.
So what are some of the bureaucratic or other hoops would-be students have to jump through that can't manage it before they set foot in class?
That's a really important question. So a lot of things that students need to navigate over that summer of transition relate to financial aid. Some students are still completing applications for financial aid. They're doing additional steps in the application, or what we call the verification process. Some families may be dealing with the fact that they haven't been awarded enough financial aid. They have unmet financial need, and the rubber is really hitting the road in terms of paying for college. And so even though it's a period of time when students and their families are making these very weighty financial decisions, deciding to invest a lot of money in higher education, it's interestingly a period of time when they don't typically have ready access to guidance or support. Students have finished high school, they've graduated from their high school community, but they have yet to join their college community.
So, Lindsay, you've worked with Georgia State to, let's say, put the freeze on this summer melt, creating this system. It's called Pounce. It's a chatbot to help students negotiate some of these hurdles. So how does it work?
That's right. So I want to be clear. Let me give credit where credit is due. Pounce was developed by a great startup company called AdmitHub. They're up in the Boston area. So I was really the research arm of this. But what Pounce does, it's a chatbot system. So Pounce can reach out to students via text to check in with them, to remind them about the transition tasks that they need to be managing. And it can step-by-step guide students through those required tasks. And also students can text in basically any time, day or night, and ask a question. And because Pounce has an artificial intelligence component to it, the vast majority of questions that students are asking, the system can answer automatically. And what's really neat is when the system can, you know, recognize its own limits and can't necessarily answer a particular question that a student has, the system can route that question to a counselor or advisor on the Georgia State campus.
So Chris, you're at Georgia State. There are 40,000 students there, huge campus. Besides the paperwork forms and getting through admissions, once a student is in college in a continuing fashion, that's when you work with them, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So what are some of the ways that you can tag students, figure out if they are having trouble?
Well, at Georgia State, we try to be as proactive as possible. And part of that proactive outreach is the implementation and use of technology. One of the tools that we use is a product by a company called EAB called Campus. And what Campus does is, from the enrollment process throughout matriculation, it's able to utilize predictive analytics to make sure that students are on a path toward graduation. We have over 800 alerts that each student is tagged with. So as an advisor, when we see that a student has an alert, we're able to reach out and offer proactive advisement to keep that student on track.
800 alerts. So this is sort of like the Amazon algorithm that if a student is doing this, then there is this, that kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. So the technology behind it is able to predict based on the data that's input. And there was over 150,000 records, 2.5 million grades to create these, what we call success markers. So a success marker could be that if a student makes a certain grade in a particular key course, one of those marker courses, the likelihood of them graduating in that major. A success marker can also tell us if a student is an accounting major, for example, then there are certain key courses that they should take by a certain time in their matriculation in order to remain on track for graduation. Those are just two of the examples.
And like the chatbot that Lindsay worked on, you will communicate or the chatbot or something indicates and says to the student, this is an idea for you, that kind of thing?
Yes. So we reach out to students in a variety of manners, electronically, the old-fashioned way, telephone, and of course, face-to-face meetings with students.
And that's what—that's how you met Keandra, says from what I understand.
And that is correct.
Keandra, well, you are not you're the opposite, I think, of an at-risk student. When you went to Georgia State University, graduated 4.0. So how did you come to meet Chris?
Well, actually, it was my last semester in college. I was supposed to do a study abroad trip. But with that, my financial aid didn't go through. So I'm left to determine whether I want to graduate this semester, this summer, get everything over with. And I didn't have the financial aid for it. I applied late and I needed extra funds to cover my last semester in college.
So I understand you were working three jobs, doing two internships, taking five classes. So obviously you were in trouble.
Yes.
Well, so how, you know, it's hard to ask for help in that case. Did you ask for help or did it somehow find you?
Well, actually, I was asking around about the different grants that I could possibly use, and I reached out to different people and asked about any extra funds that I could possibly get, because I think it was about $2,000 to $3,000 that I needed to pay. And luckily, I was able to get the Panther Retention Grant with Chris, and I was able to cover the cost of my tuition and my books and other expenses that I needed to take care of that semester.
That's how it got resolved. Yes. Lindsay, is the Pounce system, is this just for students who are enrolling and new students, or does it continue throughout the life of their college career?
So far, we've implemented and studied it in that process of transition to college, but we're looking to expand it so that it can continue to be a tool that supports students through their entire undergraduate career.
Now, Chris, you graduated in 1990 from Morehouse, a renowned, historically Black college, and now working with students. What are some of the challenges that you faced as a student?
Challenges that I faced as a student? Well, I was first generation, and therefore I had guidance and family support. I didn't have guidance or family support from someone who had actually taking the same path that I was on. So it was a lot more of trying to figure it out myself. And of course, in those days, we did not have full-time professional advisors. We had faculty advisors. Mm-hmm. And I had a great faculty advisor, Dr. Ann Baird, if you're listening.
Shout out to
him. In the sociology department. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget her. She was great. But those are some of the challenges.
That's Chris Almond. He's an academic advisor at Georgia State University. Also with us, Keandra's cousin, who is one of the students that he advised, a 2017 graduate of GSU. And Lindsay Page, she's assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Education. She's done a lot of research on summer melt, when students who look promising, look like they're going to college in the fall, somehow slip away. So what are some of the ways, Chris, that you can help students stay or get back on track and keep them from dropping out when things are hard?
Well, I use a variety of approaches. And at Georgia State University, we try to be proactive, as I mentioned before, and we follow a technique or philosophy known as appreciative advising. And part of the appreciative advising concept is to really get to know the student as a whole person, to find out what their interests are, their career goals, and make sure that they are in majors and programs that fit their long-term goals. But aside from that, when we're looking at those alerts or anything that may take a student off path, we want to make sure that we're giving them appropriate advice and, when necessary, connecting them with the other resources on campus to keep those students enrolled, engaged, and on track toward graduation.
So how does the process go? You get an alert about a student. You reach out to them?
I reach out to the student via telephone or email and say, hey, I noticed it looks like you haven't registered for a key course, or maybe they haven't registered at all, or perhaps they've registered, but the courses don't apply toward their degree. Invite them in to speak one-on-one in a consultation if necessary.
I think in addition to the academic or so the bureaucratic hurdles, it's also hard to ask for help, especially maybe if you came from a first-generation college family. You think you're supposed to know this stuff.
I think that that is sometimes the case because Georgia State's a great school, and we are a very rigorous school. So many of our students are high achievers. And sometimes when you're accustomed to being a high achiever, you're that student, that person that other students come to for help. And now you find yourself in a situation where you need help. It could be, as in Keandra's case, in finding a resource to help you pay for your education that last semester or two. Or it could be help with a particular class where you're not doing as well as you like.
How about that for you, Candace, when you were a senior by the time you asked for help or found you? How about, did you feel prepared psychologically and emotionally and in all sorts of ways to go to school?
I was a first-generation college student as well.
As am I.
My parents did not go to college, so they weren't able to guide me with certain things like financial aid, filling out a FAFSA, what to do if I needed to get extra funds. So I did not feel prepared. I feel like I was very ambitious. Like, I wanted to go to college, so I pushed myself to do those things. But I think, like, with the help of my advisors and the help of the faculty, I was able to better prepare myself for the next semester, like, just taking it one semester at a time.
And Chris kept up with you throughout that tough semester?
Yes, so absolutely.
How did that feel to have your advisor, you know, deeply invested in what you're going through?
It was great. It was the support that I needed because it was really stressful. I was doing 2 part-time jobs, 3 internships, 5 classes over the summer. And just getting a call from him, just knowing that somebody knew my situation and what I was going through. How are you doing? You know, how are you doing in your classes? Do you need any additional resources? Any extra help? So he was always there, like, every step of the way, even after I graduated, like today.
I really could have used you, Chris, I got to tell you. Well, Georgia State has become a model for helping kids make it through college and stay once they arrive. So what are some of the other ways that you think educators can help expand this group of people able to do well in college, Chris?
Educators in general, I think going back to the holistic approach, really getting to know your students and understand that students are coming to you from a variety of backgrounds with various experiences and different resources. So just having that awareness, I think, is a major step. And then you have to have the resources on campus. You have to have the advising component, the faculty, and the academic support. So at Georgia State, we have tutorial centers, we have supplemental instruction, we have academic coaching. I could go on and on and on about the resources. So you combine the technology with qualified faculty and staff. You have to be compassionate and really care about your students. And then when you're meeting with that student one-on-one, you have to have your antenna raised, because sometimes a student will say, I need help with Spanish. But sometimes it's more or less a student's not saying they need help with Spanish, but you see they're taking it a second time or a third time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're making them aware that, hey, we have a language arts resource center. Are you taking advantage of that? Mm-hmm. If not, let me get that information for you. So sometimes it's a student coming to you saying, I need help with a course. Other times it's using the analytics to see. And, of course, at Georgia State, we have technology that kind of helps alert us to that. But in the event that you're at a university that doesn't have the technology, going back and looking at the grade history and looking at transcripts and seeing areas where students may struggle.
Lindsay, this is a system that using this data to tag to help better understand students, this is a system that is proved successful at GSU and being looked at from people all over the world. I understand contingents from the Netherlands, other places are coming to look at that. Why do you think it's working?
I think two things that I'm hearing are things that I'm particularly excited about. You know, one is this idea of being really proactive with students, not just there's sort of an old model of setting up shop and having the student support center and, you know, opening the door and waiting for students to walk through. And what we know is there are a lot of things that can stand in the way of students coming in to get the help that they need. We heard Keandra's talk about all the different things that she was juggling. It may have just been hard for her, perhaps, to even find the time to get into a place that would provide her support if she didn't have that warm welcome from Chris to reach out to her. So I think the idea of being proactive is a first piece that's really important. I think the other thing that's really important in the application of predictive analytics is especially a system like Georgia State University. It's so large. It's been able to watch a lot of students go through its system. And by watching that carefully and really digging into their data, they can understand, you know, when something happens for a student, you know, the example given of repeating a particular course, we know that that can spell challenges for students down the road. And so they're really able to learn from their data key moments when it's useful to be proactive with students to offer them additional help and support.
Lindsay Page, Keandra's cousin, Chris Ullman, thank you so much all for being here with us today on Second Thought.
Thank you.
Thank you.